Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
You guys get excited about E3?
Yeah.
I just, what's there to see that they haven't, you know what I mean? What's there to see that they haven't?
A lot of Xbox One games that we haven't seen.
Yeah, I'll be psyched to see all those Xbox One games. Like, they didn't peak with Blinks the Time Sweeper, right?
Blast Core? No, fuck. Wait, Brute Force? Edit in where I said, pretend I said Brute Force. Okay. I do want a new Blast Core game.
It's doubtful. Although Rare did say they were going to be bringing some shit back. I hope that they do Conkers, because I think there's a... You guys know how, like, squirrels collect nuts? I still think there's a lot of humor left on that particular vine to pick.
You know, yeah, they didn't really touch on that too much in the first one.
No. There's also a lot of, like, tail could mean, like, reference to, like a derogatory reference to, like, a woman that
or like this,
finds sexually attractive.
There's, like, a pirate, and he's talking about his booty.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's not inherently squirrel-related, but I understand what you mean.
No, but they'll do, like, a Pirates of the Caribbean reference, because he does all this funny movie.
It would be,
movie.
Like, Pirates of the Caribbean. And he would use his pee to like attack monsters and stuff like that.
Like the Kraken.
I'm available.
It'd be like the ass Kraken.
I am available on contract, Rare. If you want to just pick me up for like a 1 month stipend, I can give you all of this and more.
Yeah.
This is just free for use? Is it public domain?
This is free. Consider this my resume. A nuts.
Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I know the thing this week.
My name is Russ Rush, and I know the best game of the week.
Every one of those. Okay, this is the Besties, where we talk about the latest, greatest, and saddest in video game news and reviews, features. And we just talk about it and try to come up with whatever is the best thing that week. It's an arbitrary competition show where we all come out better friends at the beginning. We come out better friends at the end than we were at the beginning, even though that does not seem
I think you actually had it right possible. The first time. I think our friendship is better at the beginning of the show than it is at the end.
What were you saying about the competition being arbitrary?
He is right, though, isn't he? It's like Wheel of Fortune. You only win like $3,500 if you win Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, but
it's
you can win like a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay. I don't get out of bed for less than 500 G's.
Yeah.
Or maybe a quarter mil in the MasterChef trophy.
Oh man, new app tonight.
I'm
can't wait to
so
fire it
fucking
up.
Jized. Let's talk about games though. Who wants to start?
MasterChef is the greatest game.
I guess that's true. Give me that. Give me
Combat
that
Evolved.
Wii U mini game collection.
I like to talk about something that I have been playing a heck of a lot of this week, and it is a huge surprise to me that I am enjoying it as much as I am, and it's the best unreliable narration in games this year. I know. That's a big category. That's a real one.
And yummy.
It goes to Call of Juarez Gunslinger is my nominee.
Is that out?
Yeah, it's way out. Came out last week.
Jeez.
So if you were as ignorant about this game as I was, Call of Juarez is kind of an iffy series. The first one is okay. The second one is really good.
It is all over the place. The third one's
great.
The third one is the second one is a genuinely great game.
Oh, stop.
And if you haven't played
It is not.
It's great.
It's great.
No.
Have you played it?
Yes, I beat the whole game, and it's good, but it's not
a great game.
I think a lot of people went in after the first one was so all over the place.
There is perhaps some confirmation bias there, but There is it is a great game. Call of War is the Cartel is an abomination.
Oh, I
before
thought
God and Man.
That was the one I really liked because of the few games since Lucky and Wild have truly mastered the art of getting a segment where you're driving in a car and also shooting from it. And Call of Juarez, the Cartel really nailed that, I thought.
It is an abomination. So Call of Juarez Gunslinger is a downloadable game. It does not involve the McCall family, which have sort of been the connective tissue of the
to discover his Native American roots.
You're playing as bounty hunter Silas Greaves, who is sort of a legend of the Old West in the fiction of the game, and he sidles up to a bar to spin his yarns for a group of bar patrons.
He saddles a building?
No, he sidles.
Oh, I thought you said he's up.
I think you belly up to a bar.
No, it's sidles. It is a first-person shooter, much like the other ones. The sort of structure of the game is that you're on the hunt for someone that did you wrong. But throughout the game, you're meeting up with all these legends of the Old West, like Billy the Kid and Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel. David Cassidy from Kung Fu.
Awesome.
Butch Cassidy from Kung Fu.
The train from 310 to Yuma.
The train from Back to the Future 3.
So many greats. And the story is all told via narration from Silas Greaves, an older Silas Greaves telling his youthful tales. And as he is telling the story, it's constant narration. So similar, I guess, to Bastion is the best sort of comparison I can make. But in this game, Silas will often be challenged on his story. And when he is, he will sometimes revise it, which can sometimes cause the level around you to, like, rebuild.
Oh.
Like, enemies can disappear and stuff like that because he forgot a detail or got something wrong or changed something just to see if people were paying attention, which is super
interesting. So who's challenging him?
There's people at the bar who, some of them, don't believe that he is even the real Silas Greaves. Some of them just don't believe some of the grander elements of the story. The game's action is super arcadey, so everything's points-focused. There's a combo meter for quick successive kills, and you also get extra points for skillful kills, like killing someone who's running, or headshots, or explosive kills, stuff like that.
That's how the Wild West was.
That's how it was in the Old West. There's one neat little thing where if you get shot, and it's the shot that's going to kill you, you can actually dodge it at the last second. Everything will slow down.
Like Time Crisis is what it feels like.
Is that a thing?
Well, in Time Crisis, you like step on the pedal and the bullets kind of miss you, but it has that same like weird first person look where time slows down and you actually see the bullets coming at you.
Yeah, and that's a refillable thing that you can't do that often. So if you really get into shit, it's not going to help you. Other cool things. There is there are these collectible nuggets of truth in each level where you can you find out the actual historical basis for each of the levels. Like you see a photo of the person that you're meeting up with, and you learn about their life story, which is kind of a neat.
And then you
thing.
Eat them.
And then you eat the nuggets of truth, and they give you superpowers.
Are they covered in honey or barbecue sauce?
Yes. There's
honey barbecue is
honeyed barbecue KC masterpiece flavored.
Oh,
barbecue. There's upgradable skill trees that you use your points on.
I want to go back to the narration stuff because that was your best of. This sounds pretty familiar. Actually, it's not the first game that
Gears of War.
Shut up, Chris Plant.
Gears of War.
I was doing a slow build.
No.
To my eventually good point.
No.
But yeah, we've seen unreliable narrators in another game that came out this year.
Which one?
I believe it was called Gears of War Judgment.
It
was almost exactly what you're talking about, which is to say, it was optional. So that it sounds like it's different
because it sounds like it's forced, though.
What?
It probably is better in Gunslinger.
It is.
There's something about the idea of having a narrator for a game constantly that really appeals to me, and I haven't quite gotten to the root of it yet. I think it helps first off connect you more to the protagonist because it's not something you get in a lot of first-person shooter games. But there's also something... it's hard to describe. It feels kind of... it makes you feel like someone's in control of the story a bit more. It makes it feel a bit more... I don't know what the word... Do you guys know what I'm getting
at? In a weird way, I feel the opposite, though. What I like about... is it somehow feels like you're writing the story in a weird way. Like, you're doing these things, and it's being... what you're doing is being described. And it feels like I'm almost, like, cementing it in a certain way. Here's the difference between it and Gears, is Gears uses that narration to explain away the difficulty mode that has been added. Do you remember this? Like, you could play in one way, and then, like, extra difficult options would come up and be like, oh, this is actually what really happened. These are the classified events. Well, here, it just makes the game fun straight through instead of making you choose between one or two. So, I don't know, the game's more in control of what you're seeing. You don't feel like you're getting, like, you're missing anything by choosing one or the other.
Yeah, well, in Gears, it sort of felt like you'd be dumb to not pick the option, to the point where it almost felt like, why is it even an option? Like, why would you not pick the more fun way to play through the mission?
The other thing is, in Gunslinger, most of the game is broken into vignettes. So you're kind of like meeting a new famous cowboy, and it's easier to keep track of the story because, one, most of them are famous events, so you kind of may already know a little bit about it, or by reading these truth nuggets, or can by chewing on them and actually putting them in your belly, you learn what the frame of these, like, little sequence, what the story is supposed to be. So I felt it was easier to keep track of all the balls that are in the air compared to Gears, where I'm always just, like, totally dumbfounded why I'm killing things.
Yeah, it feels very much like a greatest hits of his career. I mean, it is the most exciting things that happened to him, and that's it. There's not a lot of thread you have to gather up to get from thing to thing. I mean, it is very condensed. And the action is great. There's actually an arcade mode you can do where the levels are much more filled with enemies. They're jam-packed, and you can usually, in most of the scenarios, keep a combo going for the entire thing. So that's really addictive, is like, you get, you know, 3/4 way through and your combo breaks and you restart it so you can get that great combo that will lead you through the entire thing, get your better rating. And
I have one question.
Hit me.
Is there an appearance by Ladder Goat? If there's not an appearance by Ladder Goat...
Oh, I love Ladder Goat.
I'm not interested in
Ladder Goat. Was great. I wish. That would have been nice. No Ladder Goats in this
one. Oh, why even play it then?
Talking about this game just makes me want to play the club. Remember that game, man?
Oh, God.
That game was so good.
Is it like the club?
Well, I mean, it has the, like, combo scorekeeping system. Yeah. It's kind of like the club. Okay. And also, what is it?
Four-minute long load screens?
Yeah. It had, some great low-res textures.
It is actually, you're super vulnerable, so you die a lot if you don't play smart. But the reloading's super quick, and sometimes he'll even make a comment like, wait a minute, it didn't happen like that. I'm pretty sure I lived through it. Oh, and there are duels.
Are good.
They're really good. You keep a focus on the enemy with the right stick and keep your hand over your gun with the left stick. So it's and all the whole time you're keeping an eye on the enemy, waiting for him to draw on you. And you can actually draw early, but you get fewer points, and it's marked as a dishonorable kill.
And then you get sent off to West Virginia, and you have to serve in the sheriff's office.
That's real nice, Russ. That's real nice. That's not a region that is already, you know, beleaguered in literally every other way imaginable.
Great. I'm so happy.
Justified. I was referencing Justified.
Justified does take place in West Virginia, you're adult.
It's actually in Kentucky.
It's all the same to you, isn't it?
Anyway, it really is all the same to me, to be honest.
Who else wants to talk about a thing? I need a palate cleanser to get Russ's hate. Taste
Griffin, I think you should go next.
Well,
because mine's not very good. My best this week is the best killer app for the Wii U that I purchased over the weekend for some reason.
What?
And that is Super Metroid.
No,
I love that game.
Wait, sorry, before you get there, can you talk me through how this happened?
I'll talk to you about it. I will, and you may judge me. The listeners at home may judge me.
Uh-huh.
But, There were really two reasons. One,
You like new things.
I like new things. Three reasons, then.
Wait, are we describing why you bought a Wii U in the first place, or why you bought Super Metroid?
No, why I bought this first. Wii U. I bought Super Metroid because it was 30 fucking cents.
Yep.
Like, what? Why would I not buy it? I love what Nintendo's doing up on that 3DS. Really, yeah. I think this is going to be, like, a crazy, really good year for the 3DS. I know Iwata's going to drop that bomb eventually on the Wii U, and I want to be a member of the winning team, if that makes sense.
so you're really, hedging
your
bets.
The reason I bought it...
Griffin's taking all the good tables as everybody's leaving. He's just, like, putting his coat on all the good chairs, and he's going to have a really nice setup when everybody tries to get back into the club.
Honestly, one of the reasons I bought it is that I wanted to be psyched for Nintendo's presence at E3. As fucked up as that sounds, like, I got so excited by the PS4 and Xbox One events. Mm-hmm. And I'm similarly excited by the Nintendo Directs that have happened over the past few months, where they've announced, like, a shit ton of 3DS games. I guess I just kind of wanted to have that sense of excitement for the Wii U platform as well. Does that make any sense to you guys at all?
Hey, do you know, is that game where you're a little kid in the city where all the, like, Godzilla monsters live? Is that coming out in America?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that a Wii U or a 3DS game?
I think it's 3DS. It's
oh, never mind. Yeah,
it's a Wii U game. That game you played at E3 last year?
No, that's not it. Yeah.
Super Metroid, though. Uh-huh. And maybe all good virtual console titles on the Wii U. have kind of sold me on what I didn't expect to be the Wii U's biggest, like, feature for me. Like, I've played the Wii U at Justin's house before. Like, I know what it's capable of. But I super dig the thing I did not think I was going to dig. The off-screen gamepad-only play. I think it is the absolute best thing about that console so far, until some more games come out for it. The fact that I can put Super Metroid in my lap while me and my fiance watch Amazing Race on the Xbox.
Okay, follow-up question. Isn't Super Metroid already on the eShop for 3DS?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, I thought it was.
No, sir.
No, Aren't there a bunch of Super NES games on 3DS?
There are absolutely zero. You're out of your fucking mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, dog.
Wow, there's... I have not looped in.
There were some NES games on there. There's a lot of Game Boy Color... I don't know if there are Game Boy Advance games for sale. I know that there were a ton of, as a part of the Ambassadors program, which I still have on my 3DS XL. But I don't. There's no N64 games on there. There's no NES.
Okay,
games.
N64 I can sort of get because there might be some, like, porting issue. But for a game that's 20 years old,
yeah, there's no reason.
Super Mario RPG, Chrono Trigger, Super Metroid. Like, these are games I would definitely in a heartbeat get. Sure.
You realize the Nintendo 64 was almost 20 years ago. Like, it's not that far away.
I was talking about the Super NES. 16?
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying, like, the idea that
Plant
should
is saying
the 3DS
that
the
N64 is similarly aged.
Yeah.
Well, the N64 introduces a lot of controller issues. I mean, with the SNES, it's a perfect analog to the control layout of the 3DS. But
I've been playing a lot of Super Metroid, mainly because it is 30 cents. I think Kirby...
Did you find the ball? That's kind of tough to find.
No, I didn't. I'm actually doing what's called a no-ball playthrough. It's a no-ball speedrun where you play through the whole game without getting the ball.
No-ball? That's nuts.
That one is trademarked for Russ Rare. You can't have that one. That one was not part of the original stipend, if there's any Rare employees listening. I don't know. I just like the idea. I've done it a lot with... I also picked up Scribblenauts, which I read some not-so-great reviews for that game, and it is an absolute fucking delight, treat, little morsel sweet piece. I love that game. It has... Do you guys know about the multiplayer mode for that game?
Yes.
No.
You create objects with the pad, and you control the game as normal with the gamepad, and you create objects using that. And then another player with the Wiimote can possess any object you create and control it. So, like, you can make a bear with a jetpack, and then player two can just control that bear with a jetpack and just sort of fly around the level, helping you out like some sort of guardian angel.
Crusher, you played this. You remember that, right?
At E3 last year, yes.
No, when we were reviewing the game.
Scribblenauts?
Yeah.
No, false. False.
Because you got mad. You got very mad, and then you said you weren't going
to review any more
the Wii U games.
Okay. No.
Yeah.
I'm very level-headed.
Okay.
But I also
do not remember playing it.
I dig that, like, I played a lot of New Super Mario Brothers Wii U on the gamepad while I can, like, do other shit. Though I just, the way I consume media, and I know that this, I think we've talked about this before, and somebody on this podcast thought it was fucking crazy, but, like, I like to play video games while I watch TV. And gamepad support, like, allows me to do that while playing a console game, which has never happened before outside of, you know, like, picture-in-picture, which I have actually fucked with.
Yeah, I think it's a good... I completely agree. I play video games when I'm watching TV as well, and that's why I play Vita and 3DS while watching TV, absolutely. It's weird, though, because when you say console games, pretty much every Wii U game... I wouldn't say that, but a lot of these Wii U games, especially the ones you've listed, seem like they could just as easily run on the 3DS or the Vita. So the experience of playing a quote-unquote console game isn't really accurate because you could just be playing these games on
maybe. I mean, if you want to,
it's not like you're playing Halo on your lap.
But I mean, you do have a much much larger display than you do on the 3DS and the Vita. You do have, you know, more sophisticated controls than you have on any of the portable platforms that you mentioned. I mean, there are differences.
Back touch.
And honestly, I feel like a reason that you're saying that is just because there's not many Wii U games out there.
That's true.
So yeah, like it's been a surprising, like, I haven't played Nintendo Land very much because I haven't had, like, people over to play with the thing, and it doesn't seem like a very fun single player experience, but I have played, like, the gamepad only games quite a bit. Like, those have been the things that I've spent most of my time on, and, like, I don't know, I dig it. I enjoy it quite a bit.
Okay. What's your overall review of the Nintendo experience so far?
It's bad. It's a bad. Okay. It's not a good one. I just need those games. I'm trying to get hyphy for them, and that hope for hyphiness is what is going to carry me through E3.
I can't believe you can't get excited about game releases unless you actually own the console.
That makes
no it's
sense.
Just it helps actually yeah, that thing you just said is bullshit. Of course,
no,
that's why you get excited,
honestly, it works for me. I saw that the Nintendo 3DS lineup for this year was amazing, and I went out and bought an XL because I thought it was worth it. That's sure. What normal people do is they wait for evidence and then they act on that evidence.
But see, I'm all about that build up, baby. I'm all about the foreplay. I like getting I like being excited about excitement. And that's what purchasing a Wii U when it's still a fat, fat turd allows me to do.
Do you invest in stocks? Are you
now every time? I don't invest in stocks. I invest in dreams. I invest in hopes and I invest in dreams. And fucking now every time I watch Nintendo Direct, I can have those high, high hopes that Iwata's going to be like, check it out, Pokemon Wii U.
Oh, yeah, so, that's going to happen.
Maybe it will happen, Chris.
Okay.
All these haters. Super Metroid's also a super good game. Have you guys played that one?
Oh my god, it's one of my favorite games of all time.
Cool.
Hey guys, quick question.
Shoot. It's the second best game on the SNES, in my opinion.
Sure. I would agree with that.
Oh, guys.
Well, no, I think it's the best game on the SNES.
Excuse me, I just need to confirm. Are you saying it's better than Legend of Zelda Link to the Past?
I am saying that, yes.
Guys, Earthbound's better than all of them. Let's get to my
Super
quick
Metroid
question.
Is phenomenal.
Okay, yeah.
Can we talk about what Plant's been doing last week, or is that going to send him to jail?
No, I can't talk about that. That would be illegal, and I would go to jail.
Boo.
But I can say I've been on the set of Law and Order. That's about
what?
All I can say.
What?
Yeah, and Blue Bloods for you CBS folk. You, like, 80-year-olds who
that
listen
great,
to our show.
That great part of the Venn diagram that combines CBS viewers and Besties listeners.
Oh, boy. You guys watch that Bachelorette?
No,
what do you
can't.
Think about Dez? Come
I think
on, guys.
Fucking boring.
Talk about what you love and what you know.
When I started watching Bachelorette with my friends, we made fajitas, and I ate them, and I got diarrhea instantly, and I missed almost the entire episode.
We made tacos.
No way! Well, we made fajita tacos. Did yours give you horrible, horrible diarrhea?
No, but I ate Italian last night, and that gave me the barfs. Have you ever had that where you eat too much Parmesan?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Let's talk about something else.
Why don't we each go around and say what we're most excited to see at E3?
Okay. That's fun. Pokemon X and Y. You fucking idiots, of course.
Okay, but don't you feel it's just 3D Pokemon?
No, you're fuck. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. Stop.
How many starters are there?
There are 6 divided by...
What? You're lying.
They're actually doing a whole... So, like, you know how the Nintendo does a developers roundtable every year? The year they announced the 3DS, that's when they announced Ocarina of Time. They are doing a whole roundtable about Pokemon X and Y. I could not be more psyched.
Question 1. Is the format and gameplay of the game identical to the last 19 Pokemon games that have come out?
I would love to live in a world where 19 different Pokemon generations, not games, I'll say generations, have come out. Number 2, you're going to eat your words. I don't know why, but you will do it, because you're wrong. It's going to be new. It's going to freshen up the whole thing.
Do you think they're just going to add one type, one new type, and that's going to be
There are rumors of a fairy type, which is like, everything is already so intricately balanced as is, that if we add this fairy type in, I mean, it is
They already had fairy types. They're called Clefairy.
Well, that's the thing. People are assuming that the Clefairy would be migrated from normal to fairy type.
Shut your mouth. Yeah. Also, who wants to play as normal? Normals are the worst. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
I'm not done.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Griffin.
Gotta be something.
I just hope there's a new Pikachu.
I still get, like, hella excited for press conferences. I know that's goofy, and I know that it represents sort of a dying industry that is collapsing under the weight of its own hubris, but, I still really look forward to, you know, all the just one more thing, drop the bombs.
Yeah, the dad from
that has been
the dad from Christmas Story. There's one last present behind the
bookcase. And that's been such a like the rise and fall between my expectations and reality in the past like 2 years of E3 press conferences could rival the summit of Everest.
Well,
it is very
Plant and I covered the Ubisoft press conference last year, which I don't know if you guys remember, was fucking baller.
It was
that was when they announced Watch Dogs. Aisha Tyler hosted, and I think she is this year too.
Yeah,
I don't know. My hopes are actually kind of low for it this year because, like, what else can they possibly have up?
Well, they had the advantage of showing the only next gen game at all of E3 last year.
I guess that's true.
That's a pretty good way to go.
Which press conference are you most jazzed about, Justin?
Xbox, baby.
What? They're always so boring. They're like they start out as like a cult hearing, and then it gets just increasingly dull.
I mean, I think that both Sony and Microsoft will have a great press conference because they're going to see a lot of new franchises. I think EA is. I'm looking forward to see what they're doing with the Star Wars franchise. No.
Well, they can't talk about it. They haven't even started developing.
Yeah, they are revealing their Star Wars games. They announced that.
They'll tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies.
Guys. EA's press conferences are really tough to get through. I would agree with Justin, if only because I feel like Xbox has the most mystery to it because so little of the games were revealed during their first outing.
Do you remember the time that they made all of us dress up like the KKK and break into a poor family's house?
I do remember that because I had a stomach flu.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and you needed to barf and poo everywhere.
Wait, why do you think they were a poor family?
No, I mean like a poor as in like, oh, those poor souls. Not like
why do you think they're
not
poor?
Not like they didn't have enough money. They clearly had a very nice house because they had giant windows and they had an Xbox Kinect like months before it came out.
And West Elm furniture. It was very nice.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Here's something that you won't learn about press conferences watching at home, especially the EA conference. They're so loud.
Oh, they super are loud. Fucking...
EA is the loudest thing you will ever hear. I mean, it is unpleasant physical violence loud.
It's,
like,
it's not just that it's not just that the volume of the speakers is turned up. This is something you can't, it's so subtle you can't hear it over a web stream. But Peter Moore is fucking yelling. Like, EA Sports is gonna deliver fire on all cylinders this year, football touchdowns.
But they
I think they have those gamer chairs.
High. Yeah, they need it high because they're going to bring out all those athletes who always come out on stage and, like, the biggest guys in the world, and they come out and like, hey, so I heard that you like touchdowns. Is it true that you like to get slam dunks? Because they're not public speakers.
No. Pele comes out and he's like, I heard you would like to touch.
suckers.
It's
you wouldn't believe what I've done to women over my career.
Oh, man. Do you guys remember when Pele and Joel McHale were on stage at the Ubisoft press conference of the worst 10 minutes of my whole life?
That was the same one with laser tag. That was the best Ubisoft press conference.
Oh, Battle Tag? Battle Tag was so dope. What else?
Did that ever come out?
Yeah, it only came out in Canada.
Canada exclusive. Plant, Fresh Chick, what are you guys looking forward to?
Looking forward to? I thought we had moved on. I thought we were going
Last
on
Guardian.
To the normal show. Last
Guardian
is not happening. Shut up.
It's going to come out.
No,
it's going to come out during E3. They're just going to do a simultaneous release on Vita.
Look under your chairs, bitches.
Please don't play it.
On PlayStation Mobile.
PlayStation 2.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing what Xbox has. I don't think Sony, game-wise, is going to have too many surprises. You know, they'll have the Infamouses and the Kill Zones and the Drive Clubs, but...
That's the only reason I'm not more excited about Sony, is that they... The things that they kicked off with at their announce were just so
the same
unappealing to me. I mean, it's like, man, what is the point of this technology if this is what you guys are doing?
But that's the thing, is like their mainstay franchises have, I mean, I don't want to sound partial, but the Infamous, I will say, I actually liked both of those Infamous games.
I
think they're really well made games.
Except for the
but
awful
Killzone,
Katrina
they
stuff.
they keep okay, settle down. They keep trotting out the Kill Zone as like Kill Zone being their Halo. I don't know. Maybe I'm.
But you know what's
crack.
Fucked up? Resistance might be their Halo. Resistance 3 was a fucking terrific game.
Except for the last level.
Oh, yeah. Get off your fucking high horse.
But it was a very good game, and I would have been much more excited to see something. Even just, I don't know.
Nah.
I want to say a new franchise, but they showed off Knack, so never mind.
here's my worry, is that we're going to go, right? And they're going to show us all these new games, and they're just going to be more of the same type of games that could run on my Xbox right now, just prettier. Like, they're not actually games that take advantage of the technology in any interesting way other than the graphics.
Okay, what would you want?
That's not my job. My job isn't to use the to know what the future of games
looks
like.
His job is to hate indiscriminately.
I don't know.
It's just
what does a stronger processor do?
I've said this about like the 360, right? With Earth Defense Force, when I played that, and I know it's not a pretty game, when I was able to like blow up an entire city, I was like, wow, this is what a next generation game feels like. Or even Crackdown, where I was able to like run and go through Grand Theft Auto, but run and jump through it. It just felt bigger and more powerful and like something.
Yeah, but there's going to be more shadows, though.
Yeah. I feel like most of what we're going to see is better lighting. Like,
I feel
really great lighting.
I feel what you're saying, Plant, but there is also a part of me that I didn't know existed until I actually reviewed Defiance across all platforms.
Yeah.
Where I am actually psyched for a performance increase on the new console.
Oh, yeah,
because,
me
like,
too.
It wasn't until I started playing PC version or console versions of PC games or vice versa that I realized that like our consoles are fucking terrible.
Metro Last Light on consoles.
I've been trying to play that. I got it on Gamefly and like it's fucking miserable. It's so sluggish that I'm about to send it right back.
That's not
right
a performance thing. That's
I'm
just
probably
the
not
pacing,
being fair too because I haven't played a game that is on PC and console on console since October of last year.
Well, yeah, since you got a PC that was more powerful than God.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Speaking of, this seems like the opportunity for a seamless transition.
To Segway. Metro. Last Light. Do you want to say what you're best of? Fresh and I are both bringing it. But
yeah, we're gonna do a second half of the show is all Metro. I'll do
it's
mine first and you can do your dumb thing.
My thing's great.
My thing, far more interesting than Plant's dumb thing.
I bet it's not going to be well-rounded, and you're just going to end up talking about the game.
Competition's back. It's back, boom. Everybody. You wanted it.
The best mask simulation in video game history brought to you by Metro Last Light.
I'm going to give you a minute to talk about this.
So here's the thing.
And I'm just going to say Kid Chameleon right now. Go on.
Metro, the original Metro, from what I understand, had masks in it, but I never played it, so we're going to pretend that didn't happen.
Oh, great.
And I just played this one. There's some really... So essentially, as some of you might know, the game is set in a post-apocalyptic Russia, and...
Oh my god, were you not sure?
Not sure?
Pretty sure it's Russia.
That is the most Russian-ass game that anyone ever... That's the most Russian-ass piece of media
I hesitated
made.
Only because after the USSR broke up, I'm a little confused about, like, what things are called.
Well, the Nazis probably threw you off too, right?
Spoilers. Anyway, So since it's radiated and all that stuff, you need to wear a mask. By the way, masks don't help a ton against radiation because they can go into your ears, but that's neither here nor there. And when you're wearing a mask, there's actually a dedicated wipe your mask button, because constantly when you're going through the world, like whether you're just being slashed by a giant insect or whether you fall into a swamp, there's just crap constantly flying on your screen, like... Or, like, spiders crawling across your mask and stuff like that, and you constantly have to wipe it off. And I've thought it was kind of, like, odd at first, but now I'm, like, I find it a super cool way to, like, get you into this world and make you feel like you have, like, a tactical, like, control over the... Or not tactical, but tactile, like, control over this world in that you're constantly, like, brushing crap off your mask. Metroid Prime did it. This game does it, like, way better.
It was automatic, though, in Metroid Prime, right?
Yeah. I mean, Metroid Prime did stuff like you'd, like, there'd be a bright light in front of you, and it would, like, light up her face.
Yeah.
But this game, it feels way more, yeah, interactive and way more complementary to the environment you're in.
Do you have...
I'll say my best of, because yours is, like, a seed in the watermelon that is my best.
Well, let me ask one question of Russ real quick.
Yeah.
Because... You said it's a great simulation of what it's like to wear a mask, but, yep. Like, if you get... If, like, some sort of mutant space bug poops into your eyes...
Yeah.
That... It doesn't seem like you would just be able to just press left bumper and then... like, it's gone. Like, it seems like...
Why?
You would need to carry... Well, it seems like you would need to carry around, like a roll of Bounty.
No,
it seems like he would need some sort of... It seems like he would need some sort of solution to apply to the mask. It seems like he would have to have some sort of fibrous cloth.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because actually, so what you would expect is, okay, you have this button to clean off your mask, and essentially hitting the button equals instant, perfectly clean mask.
Yeah.
But as it happens, just hitting it once might, like, leave some streaks.
Okay, that's what I'm wondering.
It might not fully clean it.
Is there residue?
There is absolutely residue, and sometimes you have to hit it a couple times, and even then it won't be fully cleaned off.
Is there a Gears of War-esque active reload option where if you hit the clean button just perfectly, you'll get out that roll of bounty, you'll get out some pledge, and you'll just fucking go to town?
Maybe DLC, but I haven't seen anything in the main
game. Is there an obsessive compulsive difficulty setting where, like, you just fucking can't go on until
nothing you can do
absolutely perfectly clean?
You actually play as Mark Summers in that version.
Oh, the irony.
You have to go and shoot the last monster. Like, there's a puddle of mud. It has not happened to my friend.
Wait, that's not a puddle of mud.
Is that a Mark Summers
reference?
That's
a mouthful of gack.
Reach up the giant nose.
Lord.
Anyway, that was my best thing of the week.
Okay, here's my best of that has yours
in it.
Keep it
narrow.
No,
it has what?
It's not as narrow, because that's boring. Mine is the best use of life's mundanity to build tension in a video game. And it includes...
Modernity?
Mundanity.
Oh, so it's mundane.
Mundane. Mundanity? Okay. Mundanity?
I don't think...
I hate this fucking podcast.
Okay, you know what? Here we go. Mundanity.
Mundusness.
Oh, there it is. You get to wipe your face, right? So that's really cool. But you also get to have tasks like pumping your air-powered weapon and pumping the power for your lights or your UV spectacles. There's a lot of prepping for battle in the game, so that you basically have to be ready for a scenario. And sometimes you'll find yourself halfway through... shooting people, and they'll be alerted to your place, and you'll have to go hide to go pump up your gun or pump up your light or wipe off your mask or change out your air filter in your mask. Yep. There's just lots of activities to do that aren't shooting people that builds tension.
It's essentially like if you've ever used a super soaker before, pretty much that.
Sure. I mean, it's the rule of like a horror game, right? That by making a task more difficult, you actually build tension, which maybe unintentionally, like with like the old Resident Evil game, because it was difficult to control, there is this added sense of tension.
In that sense, my console version of Metro Last Light adds quite a bit of tension because it runs like a fucking dumpster poop.
It looks so gorgeous. I am afraid to see what it would look like on a 360 because it is a pretty...
It looks pretty fine. Game. It's just like one of the clunkier shooters.
I don't think it's performance issues because I'm playing it on console as well. I think it's honestly like the controls are just sluggish. Like, it feels like you're aiming... Like, I had to mess with the sensitivity of the aiming to even play it. Like, they didn't even think that that was a good... Like, it's very weird and slow. It's interesting. I get what Plant is saying. I mean, essentially, when you're playing a Call of Duty game, all you have to do to prep for a fight is, like, duck and then reload.
Press reload, yeah.
But here, what you're doing is you have to worry about reloading, you have to worry about charging your flashlight up, you have to worry about cleaning your mask off, changing
the filter. You gotta call your dad because it's his birthday.
And yeah. You don't want to shoot too much because you have limited bullet supplies, and certain bullets are actually your money, your currency.
Yeah, but so, you also have to, like...
No, okay, the currency thing is cute, but here's the thing.
It's
is
not
that
as
no one...
difficult as it was in the previous one.
Yeah, no one's going to switch. So essentially, the way they... The currency is, like, equals super bullets. You can use super bullets for money, or you can use super bullets to kill things ultra fast. No one in their right mind is going to use super bullets to kill things fast because why would you waste them that way?
But I'll fucking do it. You got to shoot money to make money. That's what Jay-Z told me. But his interpretation was more literal. He I don't know if you guys know this about Jay-Z. He will actually shoot stacks of money. He'll get a gun and
he's got like a big T-shirt cannon. He'll just put wadded up hundreds in there. Mm-hmm. Just blast them.
He thinks he's actually making the money that showers back to Earth.
That's it. That's Jay-Z's secret.
Jay-Z has the memory of a goldfish.
Whoa.
So when the money comes down, he's like, where did all this come from? It's like, you shot it into the air with your cannon, Jay-Z. I have no memory of this.
Yeah. Oh, and also, I just like that it's a shooter where instead of like cutscenes, you just go to a town and listen to people talk. And you can just sit there. You can watch an entire theater performance. There's just lots of stuff to see and enjoy, or you can just walk right through it. Like, I didn't have too much... I don't think you'd have too much trouble following the story if you didn't, you know, sit and stare and overhear every conversation that happens.
Yeah, the one thing I haven't gotten... So, it's in Russia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's pretty much the one thing I wasn't sure about.
Oh, okay. So. Was the Nazis? Is that what threw you off?
No.
Were you like, maybe this is Germany? There are Nazis here?
No. It was the accents.
I constantly confuse like Russian and Australian and like Japanese and like
and
I said Austrian, I would have maybe understood.
That's what I said.
Oh yeah, I thought
yeah, Australia. Austria is basically like a more northwestern version of Australia. You should like read a book or like watch The Amazing Race.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I would fucking excel at that show.
Everyone says that. Everyone who watches a reality show thinks they would be the best at it.
That's not true. Running. If I was on Survivor, I would be dead in the afternoon. It would be literal Survivor for me. I would be sucking on bark to try to get a Wi-Fi signal out of it.
I don't know who won this week.
I mean, it's a real close one, a squeaker, but I think Griffin won.
Griffin did do a great presentation.
Ah, man, guys, I appreciate it, but I just feel like you guys are giving it to me because you know I'm having a hard year. I think I liked Justin's the best because I had no fucking idea that A, this game is out, and B, that it was worth its weight in dog shit. And apparently, it is both. It's more than its weight in dog shit, apparently. But I mean, if you guys want to overrule me to make me the king,
no, I think you won.
Okay, well,
wait, did you hear the thing about my mask though?
Ugh, yeah.
Kid Chameleon already won it.
Kid Chameleon beat you on that.
I don't
Majora's
even,
Mask.
There was a mask in that game?
What? It's only masks.
What about the mask?
The mask has better mask usage. Majora's Mask is actually worse because that's not a good game.
There was the video game that they made about Mask, the movie about the Rocky.
Like Mobile Armored Strike Command or... or Jim Carrey or Rocky Dennis?
Rocky Dennis. Thank you. Okay.
What about masking tape? Is that anything to do with masks?
Yeah, just
you just don't stop.
I just don't know when to. I say Griffin.
Woo!
Congratulations, Griffin. Congratulations to you for getting to listen to this. We'll be back, of course, next Friday with another episode pre-E3, right before things get deep, things get real. So make sure you join us for that. If you haven't visited our website recently, polygon.com has loads of features and news and reviews, pretty much everything, one-stop shop for video game media information. So go there and check that out. You can follow us on Twitter at Polygon, Facebook/Polygon, YouTube/Polygon, polygon.com.tumblr.com. This is a new one, plus.google.com /+Polygon.
Are there any ampersands or tildes in there?
That, listen, that's a new short URL customized just for us that we got. We're having a party, if you didn't know, if you're in the LA area, next, not this coming Sunday, but the Sunday after, we're having a pre-E3 party. You can find details on the website, so we'd love it if you could join us for that. I will try to stay for as long as I can without having just a full introvert panic attack meltdown. So we hope you come for that, and we hope you join us again next Friday for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best things?
Besties!